Executive Committee said that if Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wanted peace with the Palestinians, he must start preparing his people for ending occupation. Arakat, who was recently with the PLO, PLO's chief negotiator, expressed hope. He said recognition of the state of Palestine would contribute to the cause of peace and would be regarded as a victory for international law. The PA is also planning to ask the International Court of Justice to rule that the settlements are illegal. Notice, they're attempting, in the name of law, to act lawlessly and to go against God's word and God's law with regard to Israel itself. So, the nations of the earth are coalescing together to go against the Lord and against his anointed, just as was prophesied in Psalm 2 from the Jerusalem Post. Again, Netanyahu says Jerusalem won't budge on demand for recognition. Jerusalem will not budge on its demand that Palestinians recognize Israel as a Jewish state, which Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the core of the conflict in an interview before the Pesach holiday, Pesach meaning Passover. He was working on an initiative he will present before a joint session of the U.S. Congress next month. The Prime Minister said that the core of the conflict has always been the persistent refusal of the Palestinian leadership to recognize the Jewish state in any borders. That is why this conflict raged for nearly 50 years before 1967, before there was even a single settlement in the West Bank, he said. In other words, he went right for the jugular and said this is all a ruse. The nations are being disingenuous because there were no settlements before 1967, and yet they still refuse to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. He said this refusal explains the root cause for the lack of peace. And because of that, Netanyahu explained the long-time demand for an Israeli Defense Force presence along the Jordan Valley. He said we need a physical barrier to prevent penetration by Iran and its operatives. He charged that the Palestinian Authority has abandoned the path of negotiations in favor of seeking unilateral declarations from the international community and the United Nations. He said the Palestinians think, why should we negotiate? We can get a free pass from the international community. We can avoid negotiations and pin the blame on Israel. The Prime Minister said that while going to the United Nations might result in added political pressure landing on Israel, it would not help end the conflict. Because they want to avoid the negotiations, they want an imposed solution. And he's absolutely right. Again, from Israel, as Netanyahu faces pressure to present new strategy to resume peace talks, the LA Times reports that diplomats warn that U.S., Russia, EU, UN may endorse Palestinian state along 1967 lines with East Jerusalem as its capital. The Middle East Quartet may try to reignite the peace process between Israel and the Palestinians by officially supporting for the first time the establishment of a Palestinian state along 1967 borders, said the Los Angeles Times yesterday. U.S. and European diplomats warned that if Netanyahu did not present a new initiative that is acceptable to the U.S., Russia, the European Union, and the United Nations, that they would potentially endorse the creation of a Palestinian state along 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as the capital. And Netanyahu acknowledged for the first time that he would deliver a speech to a joint session of the U.S. Congress at the end of May. Now, Obama, preparing for a declaration of a Palestinian state. The Obama administration has asked the Palestinian Authority to halt talks on a unity government with Hamas, according to a senior PA official. The official said the White House fears a unity government with the Islamist group would make it difficult for the U.S. and European Union to support the unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state in the United Nations. The information is the latest indicator that Obama will not veto the controversial UN resolution, which would recognize a Palestinian state in the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip, as well as the West Bank and Eastern Jerusalem, purportedly also including the Temple Mount. Like Jerusalem, the West Bank or Judea Samaria is the site of biblical, historically Jewish communities. According to this PA official, the Obama administration is concerned that support for a UN declaration of Palestinian statehood could have a negative impact on the president's 2012 re-election bid. So here comes another subterfuge, my friends. Obama's adept at it. The official said the White House has asked the PA, Palestinian Authority, to take their UN state request directly to the international body's General Assembly, the only UN organ in which all member nations have equal representation, instead of to the Security Council, where the U.S. holds veto power. Now, why is that? A political ploy. Previously, PA officials stated the Obama administration would not veto a UN Security Council resolution calling for a Palestinian state, in a clear attempt to pave the way for a UN vote on the matter. The international body announced last week that PA possesses the capacity to function as a state. So here's what Barack Obama's doing. He's saying, look, I don't want to make the decision. I do not want to have this before the Security Council, because that would force the United States to be a leading force, perhaps the leading force, with regard to this declaration of a Palestinian state. So rather, just take it to the General Assembly. If you take it to the General Assembly, where I don't have any veto power, I can pretend to be against it, have our administration in the General Assembly come against it, and we can still accomplish it. Do you see the disingenuousness of this? Barack Obama wants this Palestinian state so much he can taste it. He wants to be given credit for bringing this so-called peace agreement about. But he doesn't want to take the political responsibility for it, because it might cost him the election. Why is that? Because the Jews in Israel already think he's an enemy of Israel. And the Jews in America have been his voting bloc. And he's desperately trying to curry their favor to keep them in his camp. Passover. It seems that just as there was political and religious shenanigan going on the Passover concerning Jesus, so there is today. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you get your copy of The Feast of the Lord, God's Prophetic Calendar from Calvary to the Kingdom, and become a partner. Will you send your gifts by faith to Save American Ministries? God bless you, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Sunday, Dr. Edgar Lucidi and his friend Frank Vasali, and we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject. Now, sometimes it's very difficult to figure out what's really going on in the world, and certainly we know, of course, we spend a great deal of money on a vast military because we have to defend ourselves against the wicked communists who are, of course, want to take away our freedom. But is that really the case? Or is it perhaps we're being lied to on many, many fronts? Because, of course, as certainly George Orwell talked about in 1984, you always had to have an enemy. You had to have an enemy of Big Brother. And, of course, Machiavelli wrote about in The Prince the importance of having an enemy so that you could rally the people behind the king. Well, let's take you go into the background. I was at a meeting a few weeks ago, and there was as often people stop by your table, and Dr. Edgar Lucidi. I'd never met him before, and in the course of conversation, he mentioned a woman named Bella Dodd, and he had known something about Bella Dodd, who was a woman who actually had helped me to understand what's really going on. She had been a high official in the Communist Party during the Second World War, and of course, the story that I had heard was that during the Second World War, she had contacted an official from Moscow and said, "Now, if we lose contact with you, how will we know what the official party line is so we can continue to serve Moscow during the war?" She was a brilliant woman. She was a lawyer, but she was totally dedicated to communism because she saw all the problems we had here. And this chief communist said, "Well, of course, here's the telephone number for the Waldorf Astoria, and if you really get into problems, you call the Waldorf Astoria." And she found out that the people that she was to contact, if she wanted to know what the official Communist Party line were two of the richest men in the United States. And, of course, that led her eventually to renounce communism and to testify against the communists, the congressional hearings, to become a Christian. And of course, but I never met Bella Dodd. I'd heard the stories. Well, Dr. Lucidi, of course, who's our guest this evening, knew her. And, of course, apparently his friend Frank Vaselli knew her even better. So I've asked them to come on. Dr. Lucidi, are you there?
Yes, here I am.
Frank, are you there? Frank Vaselli? Oh, let's see. Let's get Frank on the line. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, fine. Well, now, who's going to start out telling us the story of Bella Dodd? Because who knew? Did you actually know Bella Dodd personally, Frank?
Yes, I did.
All right, fine. Well, you tell the story, because I wanted to get this recorded, and suddenly all we have is what I was told by some of my friends. But I never met her. She must have been a fascinating individual. Why don't you tell us how you came to know her and what she actually told you about the relationship between the very powerful and wealthy people in the United States and our terrible enemy, communism.
All right. I first met her at a seminar that was held in Zarapat, New Jersey, in the early part of the 1960s. She was one of the speakers. I was with a group of six friends. When she finished speaking, she came over to our table and introduced herself to us. On one of our visits, I asked her why she came over to us and introduced herself to us.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Frank, you go right ahead. Asked her why she came over to introduce herself to you. Why?
Yes, came over and introduced herself to us. She replied, "We were the youngest group in the room."
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Well, and apparently Frank did, and of course Sonia Belladonna, a lawyer and a very intelligent woman, was very concerned about the injustice that she saw in our society and the fact that there were a lot of people of great wealth who were exploiting the individuals, and certainly there was injustice in our society, Sonia, back in the 1930s and 1940s, and there is injustice in our society today. But idealistic people sometimes can embrace philosophies they really don't understand. And so Belladonna gradually came into the orbit of communism, who pointed out all the injustices of our society, all the problems in our society, and they promised to remedy those problems by bringing communism to America, and eventually the state would wither away, and we would have equitable distribution of products, and the people would live better. And so was it this sort of philosophy that brought her into communism there in the years leading up to World War II?
Yes.
You go right ahead, Frank.
Yes, she didn't understand why the working man suffered so much during the Depression in 1929, when they had very little to do with the process of the economy. And she fell into the orbit of the communists. And then she took a trip to Europe in the 30s, and she seen the fascists, how they were very harsh in their maneuvers to take power, and she became a staunch anti-fascist. Now, as time went on, she got very high in the Communist Party. She never carried a card, and there were same people who were writing the articles about her that she was a communist. And she was married to a U.S. Army Air Force officer. They had a child. And he was going to sue some of the people that were writing these articles about her.
But wasn't she on the Central Committee of the Communist Party?
Oh, yes. She got very high. She got very high in it. And they decided to have her, what they call coming out.
All right, I'm going to ask you, Frank, just to hold your telephone just a little bit further away from your mouth so
okay.
we get clearer.
Is that better?
That is ever so much better. Thank you so much. I think this story is so important. Please go right ahead. So the communists decided to have her come out. Go right ahead.
Yes, and they issued her a card and made it publicly known that she was a communist. And she told us her husband told her to leave the Communist Party. She has a family. She has a son. And she told her husband that the Communist Party was her family. And he left with the kid, and she never seen the kid anymore. When we were seeing her, her son graduated a military school. I don't know which one it was, the Army or the Navy or whichever one it was. And she went to see him graduate, but never went close to him. And after he graduated, she just left and came back to New York. And she then went on to say that the higher she got in the Communist Party, she dealt less and less with communists. She dealt more and more with representatives of the Rockefellers, Lehmans, Harrimans. And at that time, they were dealing with Russia, even though we didn't recognize Russia. The Harrimans were making, the Lehmans were making deals for the magnesium, to take the magnesium mines and the products from the magnesium mines from Russia, and the Rockefellers with the oil and gas, and so on and so forth. And then she began to realize that what the Communist Party was really doing was not to help the downtrodden people and benefit their life, but to set the later groundwork for a one-world government, a global one-world government. And this so disillusioned her. And then she testified against them. And Bishop Sheen, he was a Monsignor at the time, brought her back into the Catholic religion. And she had wrote a book, School of Darkness.
Right.
I had seen the original manuscript, which was never printed. It was as thick as a Webster Encyclopedia dictionary. But what they printed, a Catholic publishing house printed a book called The School of Darkness, but only pieces of it, and mostly pertaining to her reconversion to the Catholic faith. And then I went away on vacation, and when I came back, she had died. Well, the communists had told her when she testified, they told her, Bella, you were a top communist for 19 and a half years. We will allow you to be a top anti-communist for 19 and a half years. Well, I went away on vacation. She had got poison in her kidneys. She was admitted to the hospital. She was operated on. The operation was successful. She was in the recovery room. I understand not even 15, 20 minutes. Somebody came along, took her out, put her in the operating room, and they operated on her bladder, and she died. To this day, nobody can figure out the signature or who did the operation. And it was almost 19 and a half years to the day.
Well, of course, what people don't understand is that these are very vicious people. Now, the story that I'd always heard was that, and maybe you can clarify this, that she was actually, had been told during the Second World War that, you know, if she, as a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party, ever needed to know what the official Communist Party line was, that she was to call these people. They gave her telephone numbers for some people over at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Did she ever tell you that story? Is there any truth to it?
She said she dealt nothing with the people representing very rich families. She dealt with them.
And, of course, this is the amazing thing. What people really don't understand is that communism, since its very inception, has been in bed with the people of great wealth here. This was the story that Professor Sutton told in his book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, that we have in this book that was a British agent, which is written by a gentleman there who'd been actually sent there to Russia immediately after the First World War, and was working very, very closely with Lenin, and how close people were. This one gentleman, I think his name was Robbins, from associated with the people in the Federal Reserve Bank, was to Lenin. In fact, this fellow from the American Federal Reserve Bank, or associated with the Federal Reserve Bank, was giving orders to Lenin. And Lenin actually obeyed the orders. He was taking his orders, not necessarily doing what he wanted to, but he was doing what he was told to do. And that was, it began to give you this idea that maybe nothing is as it appears to be. That this whole communist movement is that enemy you have to have to justify a massive government here in the United States to protect us from the wicked communists. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Yes, very, very fair. But I want to bring something else out. She also told us that Trotsky lived on the east side, East 8th Street, over a juice bar. And when the Second Revolution in Russia began, which was the Bolshevik one, Jacob Schiff, who owned the New York Post at the time, was the bag man, and he contributed, and Rockefellers and Lehmans and the Harrimans and Kahn and Loeb, people like that, and the Heinz people, and oh, they call them Social Republican today. He collected, I think, $7 million or $17 million. He had an attaché case, took a ship. The ship stopped at Halifax, Canada, and the Canadian Army Intelligence knew about this, and they pulled him off the ship, and they notified the United States State Department they had him, and somebody in the State Department told them to let him go, to proceed to Russia. And he went to Russia with the $17 million.
Well, I think the importance of that was, of course, that basically, of course, at that time, the last thing we would have wanted was for Russia to leave the war. We wanted Russia in the war because, of course, that would of course, tie up half the German army on the Eastern Front, and that would mean that there'd be less people on the Western Front who'd be fighting the Americans. On the other hand, of course, by letting Trotsky go over there, they would be able to get Russia out of the First World War, and that would then allow the Germans to move their forces to the West. So why in the world would somebody in the American State Department send the order, the release of Trotsky, so we could go to Russia, help to finance the Bolshevik Revolution, which eventually did take Russia out of the war, and of course make it increasingly difficult for the Allied forces. And of course you have to understand this whole thing is political theater. This is done over and over again. That's how you can finance the best enemy possible. If you don't have an enemy, how can you have a war? That really is so difficult for people to accept, don't you think, Frank?
Yes, it is. Very difficult. And to put everything in perspective, they don't have real means of information. The information that the average American is given is a propped up information, is what the certain power centers want them to know. And so they maneuvered into doing what they want them to do and to support the movements and the actions that the people who want to build a one-world government want them to do.
And Chris, that's why I do what I do, 5 hours a day. We have, fortunately, the privilege of talking to people all over America, all over the world, bringing the news behind the news, the story behind the story, helping them get the information you will never get from ABC, CBS, NBC, Time, or Newsweek. Fortunately, U.S. News and World Report has had to close down. They were part and parcel of this whole thing, too, but they have been forced to close. In fact, increasingly, the conventional media is closing down, and people are getting the news and information from the Internet and shortwave. Thank goodness for that, because it means we may just be able to reach people with the truth for the first time in almost 100 years.
I agree with you.
Well, let's go to Dr. Edgar Lucidi. Edgar, do you have any thoughts at all on what Frank has said or anything you'd like to add?
Well, certainly he covered it quite well, and because he knew her very well.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
The communists, or they financed the Nazis in the years leading up to World War II. One of the things I'd never heard before, but there's a man named Ivy Lee. He was actually a publicist who worked for John D. Rockefeller. And, of course, the Rockefellers were terrible and vicious and dangerous people, so they had to get a publicist to try to make them look like such altruistic, nice people and change the public conception of them. Basically, if you ever go back and read about the riots in the copper mines where the Rockefellers brought in their thugs and they killed all sorts of women and children. They simply slaughtered them there. They were the families of the people belonging to the union who were objecting to the brutal treatment there they received working in the copper mines. Well, of course, the public didn't like that sort of thing, so they hired Ivy Lee to go ahead and make the Rockefellers look like such benevolent people. And, of course, by controlling the media, they were able to create that impression. But Dr. Lucidi was saying that then they sent Ivy Lee over to Germany to work with Adolf Hitler to teach him how to be a more effective speaker and how to be able to manipulate the masses. They did a pretty good job because, of course, he had an amazing ability to hold an audience transfixed. And of course, but people do not understand that in all the years leading up to World War II, it was the American corporations, about 100 of them, and the Rockefellers and the Harrimans and the Bushes and the others, who were all there financing the Nazi movement in the years leading up to the war. But it didn't end up leading up to the war. It continued during the war, where 100 American corporations built the weapons that were used at Normandy, at the Battle of the Bulge to kill Americans. And there were Americans there running General Motors and running Ford and running IBM and running AT&T and running the American banks and running the Standard Oil and all of these. And basically, I have an interview. Pardon me, I have a letter I found when I went to Colonel Cross's papers back at Yale University, and it's written by the American ambassador to Germany at that time. His name was William Dodd. He's writing to Colonel House in 1936 and saying, Colonel, why are 100 American corporations over here in Germany building up the Nazis? You know, nobody wants a war. We just had a terrible war. Everybody wants peace. Why are 100 American corporations over here making the war material for the German military when there's no profit to be made? Because there are exchange controls. Do the people back at home who own stock in these companies understand that what's going on over here? And then, of course, we have John Loftus's wonderful book, America's Nazi Secret. John, at a security clearance three levels above top secret, worked for the Justice Department in the late 1970s to track down the Nazi war criminals. And, of course, he found out that that all during the war, of course, these American corporations were building the weapons used to kill American boys. And the Americans who headed those corporations during the war were never tried. They were all arrested and then released, and the information was suppressed. So the most people don't understand how, as Edgar said, we finance both sides. We finance our war effort and their war effort as well. But if you're going to have a war, you got to have an enemy. Frank, what are your thoughts about that? Does that sort of thing really go on in the world today?
Oh, yes. I'm going to bring one thing, a little note. When Harriman was charged in negotiations in the Asian theater, he was dealing with the Laos, and he was trying to convince them to go into a coalition government with the communists. And General Pum, and he pointed a finger at every member of the Laos delegation, and he told them, I want you to know that if you don't go along with my bidding, which was the United States bidding and the big money boys, you will be responsible for the destruction of your countries. And General Pum replied to him, you know, Government Harriman, we in Laos have many years' experience of colonial rule, but we were never spoken to in quite that fashion in colonial times. And that goes to show you, and then Cabot Lodge set up for the assassination of the Diem brothers. And this goes to show you, you know, and there we had thousands of American boys getting killed in Vietnam.
In a war, we never tried to win. In fact, all during the war, while we financed the North Vietnamese so that they could finance the Viet Cong, so they could kill our boys, just like we did in Germany. We'll be back in just a moment here.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
The high official in the Communist Party was told that, you know, if there was ever a problem during the Second World War, American members of the Communist Party wanted to know what the official party line was, why they were to contact people living at the Waldorf Astor Hotel, Waldorf Astoria in New York City, and, of course, some of the largest and most powerful and wealthy men in America would tell her, Bella Dodd, what the official Communist Party line was. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for either one of our guests, do either one of you have a website or anything you'd like to get out for our listeners?
I don't.
Dr. Lucidi?
I'm on the internet. I have an internet address.
All right, fine. What if you'd like? If you'd like to have people have the ability to contact you, go ahead and put it out at this time.
Okay. Well, it's Alba, A L V, as in boy, A, 1882, at yahoo.com. A Larry Boy A, 1882, at yahoo.com.
All right, fine. So if you would like to get in touch with Dr. Edgar Lucidi. But basically, of course, what most Americans find it so difficult to believe is that we would finance our enemies. But right here in the United States, I mean, they finance the right, they finance the left, they finance the Republicans, they finance the Democrats, they finance the liberals, they finance the conservatives. Why should we be surprised at all that we would be financing our enemies, you know, both before and during the wars that have been fought? And you go in the background of World War One, you go in the background of World War Two, and that's beautifully laid out, certainly in the book called America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, available through Radio Liberty. And remember, John had a security clearance 3 times higher than top security. He had the top security clearance in the nation and got into the files that nobody else could. And, of course, they wouldn't let him tell the truth for at least 30 years. Well, it wasn't until this year that he was actually able to tell the full story and put this into the book, which we carry, America's Nazi Secret, How We Financed the Communists all during World War II, because we have that covered in the book, it's in the Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, and then Trading with the Enemy by Charles Higham. That's Trading with the Enemy by Charles Higham. All three books are available from Radio Liberty. We want people to understand that nothing is it appears to be. Cindy, do either one of you have a comment on how we're going to be able to reach the American people and get them to change their worldview? The trouble is that we have these ideas, and they are who we are. And when, of course, we try to tell people what's really going on, people look at you as you've got holes in your head. I know, because I used to be one of those people who thought that people who talk like I do today, or talk about the things you talk about, they've got to be wrong, because I had a college degree, and I had an advanced degree and a doctorate and a Phi Beta Kappa Chi, and I thought I was pretty smart. I didn't realize how totally unaware I was of the history of my nation, or how we'd gotten into the situation we're in. Do either one of you have any suggestions of how we're going to get this information out? Because I know both of you feel very deeply about the fact that we're losing our country. How are we going to reach the American people? How are we going to inform them? How are we going to get them concerned? And how are we going to expose the subversive element that controls the leadership of both political parties?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I will give you a personal experience. It wasn't until I was 40 that I began to realize that everything that my grandfather had said when I was a young boy was correct. And he was a very politically astute person, and he knew more about international politics with his limited education than I, who had graduated from college and from medical school, knew. And gradually I realized that when I was age 40 that he was really correct and I was wrong, and that I had learned the wrong things. And unfortunately in school, they don't teach the right things. They don't teach the students how to think, how to analyze situations. They just spoon feed them. They say, and the nature of the testing is that way. For example, they might give a multiple choice question, and but they will limit it. They will limit the choices to one or two or three. Well, how about neither? For example, many years ago, the epithet was that you're against communism, but better red than dead. That was the answer that they would give me, and I used to answer, well, how about neither? How about neither red nor dead? So I remember the first few years of school, we used to have to give essay-type answers. The questions would be phrased in such a way that we would have to discuss it in an essay-type fashion. This taught one to not only that he had to know the facts, but he had to present them logically and in a persuasive style. But after a while, the tests were done true or false or multiple choice. And I feel that the problem begins with proper education. The government controls the educational system in this country, and they determine which books and what the books are to say. And there is very little true historical knowledge garnered, and he who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. For example, you mentioned that the U.S. Interest and others finance both sides of the conflict. Well, this is an age-old program going back to the Roman Empire, where their concept, their motto was to divide and conquer. And they knew that a people united would be difficult to conquer. So whenever they would see a revolutionary movement in the country, in another country, they would foster it.
And that's exactly, of course, what we've done over there in the Middle East. We financed,
right, exactly,
financed the this Muslim Brotherhood, in fact.
But they would foster it up to a certain point.
If the
party that they fostered were fostering got too strong, then they fostered the opposing party.
And we see that since when they created the country of Iraq. What did they do? They took three competing and fighting factions, the Shia Muslims, the Sunni Muslims, and the Kurds, and put them into one country so they could never be a united country.
Exactly.
There'd always be divisions so that they could manipulate that country, and they could always manipulate the leaders of this. These techniques are used so effectively today, and Chris, this is what we that's what they did in certainly in Palestine, where the Mossad and the CIA created Hamas. Hamas, of course, was an organization, a radical Islamic organization in opposition to the Palestinian Liberation Army. But you see, if you could have them fighting among themselves, they could never be effective. Well, then, of course, Hamas gets started out of line, so you've got to, of course, build a counter to Hamas. And it's the oldest game in the world, and it's so obvious to people like Dr. Lucidi and Frank Vasali, and our listeners out there have to understand this is exactly what's going on. I have to smile every time I hear President Obama talking about wanting to tax the rich. President Obama raised more money for his presidential candidacy than any other person in all of history, almost $500 million. Where did the money come from? Goldman Sachs, George Soros, all the multimillionaires pouring money into Barack Obama's campaign, and he tells us he wants to tax the rich. I mean, you're not really serious, are you? But people believe it. After all, they've got so much money, we ought to tax them, and then we won't have to tax the individuals. Basically, of course, what we're doing is we're not taxing anybody. We're just creating money out of nothing. We're borrowing it from future generations this year. $1.65 trillion we're going to borrow just so we can pay our debts. And of course, remember, it took 200 years for America to amass $1 trillion in debt. This year, we'll increase our debt $1.65 trillion in 1 year under Barack Obama. And he's going to solve the problem by taxing the rich. You took all the money the rich had made. Why, it wouldn't come anywhere near close to that.
Well, this is part of the program for eventual world government. In order to have an effective world government, all countries have to be brought down to the same level. Those who are too low have to be brought up. Those that are too high have to be brought down. And the destruction of the American economy is one major facet of prior to the creation of this world government. And Lenin also mentioned that. He said that we will bankrupt America to such an extent that she will fall like an overripe apple into our hands. And as Baladad brought out, the Communist Party was stressing the infiltration of and subversion of social institutions like churches, schools, mass media, and government. And its aim was to create new types of human beings who would conform to the blueprint of the New World Order, which is in reality the old Babylonian World Order. Yeah. And it's a continuation of that, where the state became God. The state dictated what the person could say, what the person could do, what they could not say, and what they could not do. And this is the basis for today's so-called hate law. You know, it's a hate crime. Well, I don't know of any such thing as a love crime, but the hate crimes are really methods of controlling people's thoughts and words. And before, if somebody committed a sinful action or an evil action, he was justly condemned. But today, just a misphrase or a word like calling somebody an idiot who, after he hit somebody on the head, well, that's enough cause for being a hate crime, you see. And so Bella Dodd said that her purpose and her main thrust was to infiltrate the educational system and the workers' movement. And they did everything possible to induce women to go into industry, to destroy the family. And she also had infiltrated about 1,100 people to enter the seminaries, into the Catholic seminaries in the 30s. And so little by little, they drove a division between the common people and their priests and the doctors and their politicians and so on and so forth.
And I think that's really such an important issue. I'm so glad you brought that out. They infiltrated the Catholic Church. Now, I know they've infiltrated the Protestant Church as well, but they infiltrated the Catholic Church. Why? Because they wanted to discredit Catholicism, and certainly we see the end result of this today with all the sexual exploits and sexual perversion in the Catholic Church, and more Catholics certainly are turning against not only the Catholic Church, they're turning against Christianity because they see the obvious hypocrisy, and yet it didn't have to be that way. This has been long-term planning because, of course, going right along with this whole move of changing the social structure was changing the religious structure of our country, because this is in part, a large part, I believe, a conspiracy against God. They hate God.
Yes. Yeah, it's a definite anti-Christian conspiracy. And, for example, feminism is communist, both in origin and spirit. And it pretends to champion women, but it neuters both sexes and destroys the basic social unit, which is the family. And promotion of homosexuality is a lifestyle choice. I mean, it's also part of this elitist fraud to create new types of human beings who would conform. In other words, it's the old satanic concept of do what thou wilt. And in other words, there is no law. Forget the Ten Commandments. Do your own thing. Well, this is the basis of all the satanic societies. And they promote, in fact, there's a Club of Rome, which was founded in 1978 by the financial elite. Not that the city of Rome had anything to do with it, but they met in Rome. And this was part of their Malthusian project to reduce the world's population. And their avowed documented aim as in their charter was to reduce the world's population in half by the year 2000. Well, they did not succeed at that, but now they have another time schedule. They want to reduce it in half by the year 2025. And it says, we will use various means, including but not limited to homosexuality, euthanasia, abortion, drugs, poisons in the earth, air, water, etc., etc. So we're getting all this. I mean, we see the strange chemtrails up in the sky that are loaded full of chemicals and viruses and bacteria and fungi. We see the fluoridation of water, sodium fluoride is a highly toxic substance, yet it's being promoted as a dentifrice. Most of the toothpaste sold in this country contains sodium fluoride, whereas sodium fluoride is a poison, but calcium fluoride, which is a natural substance found in plants and milk, is not. But they're not using calcium fluoride, they're not putting calcium fluoride into the water, but sodium fluoride. And, in fact, sodium fluoride was first used in 1934 by the IG Farben scientists in Germany as a method of mind control, because they found that this would affect the people's thinking and would make them more like sheep.
And that is really so true. In fact, we even have a book that was written back about that time telling about that. And this has totally been suppressed in America. And both the American Medical Association and the American Dental Association support water fluoridation, despite the fact that we are actively simply poisoning our children. In fact, recently the FDA came out and said they were going to have to cut the amount of fluoride in the water because 42% of America's children had dental fluorosis, which means they've been poisoned. So what is it going to do? It's going to take the fluoride out of the water? No, we're going to cut it from one part per million to 0.72 points per million. That means we're just going to poison them a little bit more slowly.
Exactly.
Could this really be true, ladies and gentlemen? I think that the point is brought out is absolutely true. And we could go into some of the other things that they're doing, actually, in the way of certainly of suppressing treatments for cancer. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen that great DVD we have, Cancer, Forbidden Cures, they know what to do for cancer. And how many people do you know have died a slow, painful death from cancer? They know the treatments. They've got them locked up. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, we have 3 minutes to go there. Who would like to finish up the program with the remaining 3 minutes? Is there a Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Being a high official in the Communist Party to a realization this whole thing was being controlled by very powerful and wealthy people here in the United States who'd created the best enemy money could buy. You had to convince the American people there was an enemy, and there really are. The people who dedicated to communism, they just didn't understand that all these ideas of socialism are put forward by the very capitalists they oppose. And, of course, the whole idea is to circumvent our Constitution. Rather than have a decentralized government where men could be free to centralize power with the government, which allows wicked and wealthy people then to be able to control our lives, because they you centralize power with the politicians. Politicians are always up for sale. And basically in Washington, D.C. today, we have the finest politicians money could buy. The recent settlement made between the Republicans and Democrats of a cut in $38 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office, was really about $360 million. All the rest of it was simply frosting on the cake. It didn't exist. We actually only reduced about 1% of the $38 billion they promised, and we're talking about a deficit of $1.65 trillion. It's all political theater, ladies and gentlemen. Neither party intends to solve the problem. They intend to bankrupt this nation, impoverish our people, destroy the monetary system, and take us into a one-world government. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's why you need to hear my talk, The Forbidden Secret, and the talk on the dark secret, and get the syllabuses to go with them. Why you need, of course, to get the four-CD set on the supernatural. Why you need to get our four-tape set, or certainly the book on satanic crimes put out by William Kennedy. And then, of course, why you need to get the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Why is that important? Well, because they've done the same thing in the political field that they've done in the music industry. And many people there have made an active agreement with the prince of this world. For in return for fame and fortune and wealth, why, of course, they've sold their souls to the devil. This is not imaginary. You can get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. We recommend this to you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, I do need to remind you, my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by calling us at 1-800-544-8927, or we have a PayPal button there on our lead page, and I want to thank the people who really have been so generous in helping, and there are a lot of people out there who've really stepped up to help us so that we can actually maintain our outreach on 60 different stations every a week, and some of those are shortwave, some of them are radio stations, and vast majority are radio stations, but we're on the Internet, and then, of course, we're on satellite. You can get us so many different ways, iPod and MP3. Go to our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, and you get all sorts of methods of being able to reach us. We are going to be picking up a new network here. Fortunately, they made me an offer I couldn't refuse, and hopefully we'll be able to expand that. And it's the Accent Radio Network, and we're looking forward to starting with them very, very soon. So please pray for America. And pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Ryle and the others who are on the front lines of this battle. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray that we'll have a revival in America. Because without revival, I see little hope. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in a moment. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, of course, the next hour is going to be Barry Shamish. Before we get to Barry, if you have a chance, listen to the program we did this afternoon with Bert Doman. Certainly one of the most astute financial advisors I've come in contact with. His newsletter, the Wellington Letter, is certainly widely read. It's an excellent source of information. And Bert has an excellent grasp of what's going on. And it's quite obvious as he explains things to you that they're lying to us about our gross domestic product, they're lying to us about inflation, they're lying to us about unemployment, and we're getting ready to plunge into a second limb of this W-shaped recession. The market is going down. It's only a matter of time before this whole financial system collapses. But in the meantime, we're moving towards inflation and perhaps hyperinflation. The real inflation rate today is somewhere between 10 and 20%, and probably will be at least 20% by the end of this year, probably 30% or more next year, and 50% the year after that. And with that then comes the destruction of your life savings, of your Social Security. Everything that you've known and worked for is going to be stolen from you as part of a planned effort to destroy the Western monetary system and plunge the world into chaos and bring about a one-world financial system and a one-world currency. And people will cry out for some sort of stability because they're intentionally engineering this whole thing. This is not happening by accident, and that's why it's so important you understand what's going on today. Well, with that as a background, let's get to our special guest today. Always a pleasure to have Barry Shamish with us to keep us up to date with what's going on in the Near East and Middle East. Hi, Barry. How are we doing?
Hi. That was quite an introduction.
Is
there a happy side to the story?
Well, that's the good news. Later I'll tell you the bad news. Go right ahead.
I'm going to just do an overview of the Middle East. Not so much Israeli this time. Things are cooking all around Israel. Talk about worst fears. Even Prime Minister Netanyahu told a bunch of EU ambassadors who met him in Jerusalem that he was really ticked with Egypt. He said, "I'm especially concerned with Egypt." Look, what happened this week in Egypt is, again, you don't read this, but there were attacks, you know, by the Facebook crowd, the demonstrators at Tahrir Square. They demonstrated against Israel's embassy in Cairo, as well as the consulate in Alexandria, apparently thousands of them. Oops, I hear the music already.
You go right ahead. I'll tell you when do we have to cut off.
Well, the Egyptian soldiers who were supposed to guard these two places just ran for the hills when they saw the demonstrators. And, these buildings were left for the demonstrators. There was no one guarding them anymore. And, let's look at the reaction from Egypt. Do I have the time to go into the Egyptian reaction?
All right. Well, we'll tell you what. We'll let you do that in about 20 seconds here. But
right.
Basically, of course, what Barry is describing is the fact that Egypt, which has traditionally at least been gotten along with Israel, well, apparently those days are remembrance of things past. Go right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, the reaction in Egypt is, the finance minister, someone you don't know named Samir Radwan, was furious about the possibility of further Israeli investments in Egypt, saying that he didn't need any money from the enemy. That's the finance minister. What it comes down to is the Egyptians want to cancel their gas agreement with Israel, which, you know, is a really important part of the peace treaty of 1979, is that Egypt gave up the gas deals, and they have unlimited supplies of Egyptian gas, which they pay for. Well, Egypt doesn't like that idea anymore, and they're going to review the gas deals. Look, it's actually got to the point where the demonstrators have given their point of view that they don't want the Israeli embassy reopened. The Israeli staff took off during the demonstrations of a month ago, and they don't want them coming back. They don't want to see Israeli diplomats ever returning to Cairo. In fact, they want the Egyptian government to lift the blockade on the Gaza Strip and have a Hamas ambassador in Cairo. Well, look, one is an Egyptian blogger. His name is Makel Nabil. Was sentenced to 3 years in prison on whatever charges they could cook up against him. What you've got now is Egypt turning into the enemy, that was predicted. It's actually happening right now.
And I share your concern, Barry. I've been very, very concerned since they began talking about destabilizing Egypt. That, of course, the government that followed would certainly not be a democratic government, but would be fitting more into the Muslim Brotherhood anti-Israeli destabilizing force.
Well, that would be democratic. Yeah. That's what the majority of Egyptians want. The other way wasn't democratic when only the president was maintaining ties with Israel. The Egyptian people don't want peace with Israel, and that's the democratic way.
What do you think the average Muslim I'm talking about, really hates Israel, or simply, they're agitators there that hate Israel? I don't think the average Palestinian...
They despise Israel with all their heart and soul.
Do they really?
All their heart and soul. There isn't a nice thought whatsoever about Israel.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we're talking about the fact that now that Egypt supposedly has a democratic society, Barry feels that all the Egyptians hate Israel, and there's none of them wanted peace with Israel. And the only reason we had peace with Israel is because first Sadat and then, of course, Mubarak maintained a peace agreement with Israel and certainly provided gas. Of course, Israel paid for the gas, but certainly the southern border with Israel was safe as long as Mubarak was in power. But now Mubarak has been toppled. Why, of course, it looks increasingly as if Israel will become an active enemy of Israel, which, of course, totally destabilizes the entire situation in that part of the world. Pick the story up there, Barry.
Well, there's the other side to the coin, which is Syria. Now, Syria's got its own riots, but they're dealing with them better than Egypt is. They're not putting up with them at all. If Egypt had done that, Mubarak would be in power in a probably very unhappy country, but Syria is not giving its demonstrators any compromise whatsoever. But in the midst of all this, there was an emergency meeting of the Arab League, and who knows how much influence that has, but they adopted Syria's initiative. Here's Syria's initiative. The Arab League is going to call on the UN Security Council to discuss an air embargo over Gaza. That is to stop all Israeli military flights over Gaza. Their logic is unswaveringly accurate. They say if you did it for Libya, then you do it for the innocent civilians of Gaza, too.
But does that mean that the Hamas cannot fire any rockets from Gaza into Israel? Because, after all, if you can't have any planes in the air, should you be able to have missiles, deadly missiles, going from Gaza in to kill Israelis? I bet they didn't address that, the Arab League.
Well, I don't think that the embargo over Libya was terribly favorable towards Gaddafi, They're choosing sides, obviously, and the side they're choosing is the Gazan civilians. Well, anyways, I don't think the UN, well, who knows? I mean, they're nutty enough to actually put it. They have to get countries to agree to this air embargo over Gaza. I don't think they're going to get any. Nonetheless, well, what it comes down to is that the Arab League is approaching the United Nations to put in place an air embargo over the Gaza Strip and knock down any Israeli planes who break the deal, which, by the way, is a lot more dangerous than an air embargo over Libya, because the Israeli Air Force can probably knock down any air embargo. Nonetheless, this is just a sign of local insanity. But, yep, they passed it. They held an emergency session, and that's what they're going to ask the UN to do. I don't think it will go very far.
Well, I certainly hope not, but we live in a world gone mad, Barry. There's only a few of us who are sane. Everybody thinks we're crazy, but this whole thing is going to head towards the total destabilization of both the Near East and the Middle East, and I think we've just seen the beginning of this. We know there's been instability and riots in Morocco and Algeria, certainly in North Africa, and certainly in Yemen and Oman and the Sudan and Somalia, and in addition to, of course, to Syria that you've already talked about. And
Somalia's got riots. They've got pirates. I've never heard of riots there.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. Well, let's talk about... If you want to talk about places exploding, you can talk Syria, Bahrain, and Yemen. Morocco has pretty well quelled the demonstrations, and I don't know what's going on in Algeria, but Syria's got really deadly stuff. You've got all kinds of demonstrators getting shot dead there.
You remember, they tried to get something going in Jordan. I don't know how far it got, but they tried to get something going there, too. But that's probably
yes, Jordan, again, no one died that I'm aware of. But they could uprise again. I haven't heard anything in a few weeks from Jordan. Nonetheless, let's go back to this region. Look, Saudi Arabia and Kuwait have had emergency meetings with the states. On the 8th, it was with Gates, and a few days ago it was, well, if you've ever heard of NSA advisor Tom Dolinon, I don't know who he is. Nonetheless, America sent him to have these two emergency meetings. Saudi Arabia and Kuwait don't want this Iranian nuclear reactor to be activated. It's the plan is for next month. It goes into operation. Now, it's not because of the nuclear threat. They're worried about a Fukushima sort of scenario right in the Gulf States. The Fukushima scenario has woken up a lot of people to the possibility that this Iranian reactor will blow up. And then everyone in the region gets a nice dose of radioactivity. Now, the problem with the Iranian reactor is it was stopped cold by a virus called the Stuxnet. And, well, the Russians just pulled the fuel out. The impact of the Stuxnet virus was it mucked up the whole reactor. Now, what they're worried about, the Russians pulled out because in the control systems in the reactor, all kinds of metal particles major malfunctions of the system were caused by these metal particles, and they didn't It's still unexplained. They don't even know how the particles got into the cooling system. Nonetheless, they shut down the reactor, but just 10 days ago, the fuel was reloaded. And in May, they're going to start the reactor. And what Saudi Arabia and Kuwait are really worried about is not if they're going to make a bomb out of this someday. It's that this reactor is going to blow sky high from the Stuxnet, and the whole Gulf region is going to get irradiated.
Well, Sydney, I know people. Lots of people are concerned about that sort of thing, and I'll tell you, but there's something very strange about what happened over in Japan. I just can't believe the Japanese could have been that inept, or they would have been storing their spent fuel rods, you know, in the upper stories of the fourth reactor. You'd think they'd send them off to get them reprocessed, but be that as it may, they're either totally inept, or this is somehow or other they're not trying very hard to control the radiation.
No, they're totally inept.
Don't
overestimate the Japanese.
All right, go right ahead.
Yes. We now find out they can make computer parts. Doesn't mean that they can run a reactor in the face of a tsunami. I don't see it as suspicious. I see it as Japan going through an upcoming long period of recovery. And by the way, if this stuff leaks for 9 months, that island, those islands of Japan are going to be pretty irradiated too.
Oh, like I share your concern about that. If this heat leaks for 9 months, I don't know why they can't just bury it with cement, but maybe there's some reason. Go right ahead.
You know, I thought about that as well, by the way, that if it is hopeless, why not just, well, apparently they can't get the equipment or the men close enough to the place. I've heard excuses, but I actually share your opinion on this. They did it at Chernobyl. Why not just cover the thing with cement and get on with life?
Right. Well, anyway, one of these days we'll get the full story, but it may be a long time. In the meantime, of course, I think we've got very, very real problems in the Near East and the Middle East, much more pressing. Go ahead.
Well, I got a good nuclear story for that. On the one hand, the Saudis want the Iranians not to start their reactor. On the other hand, I've never heard of the King Faisal Center for Research, and I've certainly never heard of Prince Turki al-Faisal. Nonetheless, he has got a terrific new plan for the Gulf Cooperation Council. Again, an organization that you've never heard of, I'll bet you. I never heard of it. But nonetheless, it's all the states in the Gulf region, and they all met at the Emirates Center for Strategic Studies and Research, where, whoops, do I have time? Hanging in the air.
Well, basically, of course, they hold this meeting over there. Now, did Iran attend the meeting?
No, of course not.
All right, fine.
They weren't even invited.
All right, fine. So basically, it would be all the countries there then on the west side of the Persian Gulf and not the ones on the east side, right?
No, on the east side.
On the east side, okay.
It would be Kuwait, Dubai, Bahrain, the Emirates, Saudi Arabia.
All right, fine, okay.
Now, what a proposal. This is just showing that...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, this is just...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Counter. I thought you said they threw that in something.
Yeah, as a standard afterthought, they're worried about Iran.
All right, fine. Well, be that as it may, they want to have an army with nuclear weapons. Go right ahead.
Well, they want to be able to stand up to Iran with a devastating force if Iran uses it. And look, down the line, if they've got the money, they can buy a few nukes. It's not as inconceivable as it sounds.
Are you sure they don't already have a few nukes? I wouldn't be at all surprised if some of the countries over there hadn't suddenly got a few of them on the...
I don't think Kuwait or Abu Dhabi.
No, but how about Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia is... You have to remember that these are very wealthy and corrupt kingdoms who barely have an army. Barely. Nobody. They want nukes because they haven't got them. And more to the point, they have the money to... They could actually, instead of developing nuclear technology, they might actually just send word out that we've got a couple hundred million bucks for anyone who gives us a nuke, and they'll get some takers on that. Whatever, this was decided at this meeting, and who knows? You know, again, who knows? It's just something to keep your eyes open for.
All right, you go right ahead.
Now, something that really is very real is this September at the United Nations, the PLO are going to get themselves, the Security Council will declare officially that there's a Palestine. Now, there is a ton of very, very strange diplomatic activity surrounding the Security Council, not Security, General Assembly, meeting in September where they are going to vote and overwhelmingly declare that Palestine exists. Now, there is tremendous, almost amusing, at times it is amusing in a way, the diplomatic activity leading to September. Now, first of all, the Palestinians are boy, oh boy, are they preparing for September. Now, there was a meeting that went nowhere or it was canceled mid-April. It was, you know, less than a week ago. There was supposed to be a meeting of the EU, and they were going to prepare for, well, this, well, prepare for a Palestinian state is what they were going to do. Now, this gets a little spooky, but let's do it step by step, because we also have the issue of the United States. Obama wants a Palestinian state established this September. That's what he wants. But he's just one of everybody. I mean, the whole world wants a state right now. Now, what they do, what the PLO is doing, while they've got their minister of planning, again, like we need to know that it's Ali Al-Jarabi, who cares? We don't know this guy, we never will, but he is preparing documents, to end the occupation and to establish the state of Palestine. He was supposed to have this meeting. How we don't need international aid anymore, we're standing on our own 2 feet. It was supposed to be in Belgium. As a matter of fact, it was in Belgium just 8 days ago.
And what happened?
Well, what happened is absolutely nothing. Britain, France, and Germany. I think we should let the music go. This is a long story.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment, I guess, is Barry Sammies. And he's, of course, bringing us up to date. They're talking about a Palestinian state. Now, this, of course, will be a direct affront to Israel. It's going to increase the tension over there. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Fine, you go right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, there's so many meetings. The meeting that took place where the Palestinians gave their planning and administrative documents showing they were ready for statehood took place in Brussels. But the big meeting, that was the meeting Britain, France, and Germany wanted to get the PLO sat down to prepare for statehood, but they asked Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, as well as the EU, everyone had to have a settlement proposal ready before this meeting. And the idea was that they needed the parameters of a final settlement, or else the PLO would just unilaterally go to the General Assembly and ask them to declare a state. They wanted to do it legally because, really, even if the General Assembly can propose that there's a state in the moon, they can do whatever they want. On the ground, it doesn't mean all that much. Well, it means an awful lot if you can't take the heat. the kitchen is going to get mighty hot if they do that. But on the ground, you can call it Palestine all you want, but it's not Palestine. Now, this September, the PLO are going to ask the General Assembly to declare a state. And again, when's the General Assembly ever declared a state? But they're going to ask them to be members of the UN, and they'll have a seat in the works. But Britain, France, and Germany don't like that idea one little bit, because there was a peace agreement, so-called peace agreement, the Oslo Accords, that said that the Palestinian state would be established through negotiations with Israel. And without diving into what a horrific mistake it was, nonetheless, it has international approval.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Sidney Berry is talking about the fact that the Palestine's going to go to PLO is going to go to the General Assembly and the United Nations here in September, ask them to declare Palestine an independent nation with a seat at the United Nations. And, of course, what is going to happen? Well, of course, if this goes before the United Nations, why, of course, it has to go through the Security Council. They can always go ahead and have to.
General Assembly. Well, look, come on the Security Council, there's America.
That's right.
America's not going to want... Look, Bill Clinton signed the Oslo Accords.
Okay, but the thing is that will America be able to veto that?
Of course.
All right, fine.
Not in the General Assembly. Okay. A veto means nothing there.
Okay.
It's just votes.
All right.
But remember, the Oslo Accord...
But does it have to be confirmed by the Security Council?
No.
All right, fine, then go ahead.
So no.
Before we go on then, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can invite you to speak, and how they can get your PayPal button, and then we'll get back to what's going to happen when they take this to the General Assembly in September. Go ahead.
You got it. And this is a very difficult little discussion we're having right now. There's just so many facets leading to September, but let's just do the plug in a hurry, and we'll try and sort this out. My books are available at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. When you get in there, you will see a search box right in my name. C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That'll take you to my books. My website is barrychamish.com. At the bottom, there is a PayPal button. And, well, if you so want, I'm a very grateful recipient, and I'll send you a really nice present of DVDs for a contribution. That's gratitude, not a bribe. And if you want me to speak, and this week... lo and behold, finally we got a speaking date. My number is 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Now let's get back
Where would you be speaking?
Southern Florida, around Miami.
Okay, fine. Well, let us know just before then. Maybe we can get the information out. Some people can make it a point to be there. Yeah. Go ahead with the story then.
Fair enough. Now, look... It's a mess diplomatically. So what Britain, France, and Germany wanted was a settlement. The parameters of a final settlement. That way, they claimed the Palestinians will return to the negotiating table. I mean, that is a bribe. I mean, that's just never. The Palestinians are not negotiating with Israel. And unless they negotiate with Israel, declaring a state unilaterally doesn't have quite the, it's not all that kosher. And they're not at the negotiating table, so France and Germany said to Ban Ki-moon and the EU, give us the parameters for a final settlement. They didn't. And that's why the meeting, I believe, between them and the Palestinians was canceled a week ago. What it comes down to, and I didn't get into this properly, Bill Clinton supposedly was the co-authored the, not co-authored, even though in actuality he did, nonetheless co-signed the Oslo Accord, and if the United States has any integrity, they'll stick by the accord. But what's going on now, here's how the Arabs see it. Now, you don't know, I do know this guy, Ahmad Tibi. He is the deputy speaker of the Knesset, as well as the head of the Arab Movement for Change. The deputy speaker of the Knesset said that the admission of Palestine as a member of the UN is inevitable. And he celebrated what he calls the longest occupation in modern history, which is, of course, wrong, will be ended. And here is what he said. I'll actually quote, only a few abnormal countries won't support it. And what he said is, quote, Palestine is accepted as the state of the United Nations in September. The state of Israel will be isolated and condemned. He's absolutely right, by the way. But he's saying this in celebration. If the General Assembly admits Palestine as one of its members, Israel will be isolated and condemned. Now, look, there's all kinds of stuff. Most of Latin America have already recognized Palestine as a state. This is the Vatican going to work. This is Juan Carlos going to work. And that, you know, a separate issue. But the world is preparing for this September. And now we got to look at the local preparations. Now, I'm going to start with Netanyahu and then go on to the PLO, because the PLO are getting imaginative. What will Netanyahu do after Palestine as a member of the General Assembly? He's going to get really even with them. Right now he's weighing a withdrawal of IDF forces from the West Bank. Well, that'll show him. Not kidding. That's an actual quote from Netanyahu. The reason is to block the diplomatic tsunami, which will follow the international recognition of Palestine. Well, good, you know, that's a strong reaction. Let's just pull out troops. I don't understand who they're doing that for. Really, I really don't. Does he think it's going to make somebody happy? Is there a reason for doing such a stupid thing? That's his reaction. Under the table, they're going to countries and begging them not to support this. But Israel's reaction is to send a little detour into this diplomatic tsunami by withdrawing IDF forces from the West Bank. And don't try and look for sanity in that decision. I haven't found it yet. But you want to talk about really, really imaginative ideas. Now, get ready for this one. Now, this is coming from Bill Schott. He's a very high-ranking member of the Fatah, of the PLO. Now, they're sitting down and they are going over many ideas, around the declaration of the independent state in September. But what this is incredible. Remember, Israel is warning the Palestinians that they're going to face retaliatory measures if they dare seek recognition of a Palestinian state, the UN General Assembly. Now, we don't know what these retaliatory measures are, but the threat is out there, and the PLO must know what they are. I don't know what they are, but it's certainly not to withdraw IDF troops from the West Bank, whatever they're threatening them with. Now, they had a meeting the Palestinian Assembly, really the PLO. Now, this is straight from Ma'an. That's the Palestinian news source. I use them quite a bit. They give a much better picture of what's going on than non-Palestinian news sources. Well, they actually, you have to read them. And I do. Now, what they said is that Shaat and his council were discussing a very imaginative option to end the occupation if the Palestinian state is not established in September. Get ready for this one. Nabil Shaat told Ma'an that they were considering dissolving the Palestinian Authority and ending all Palestinian commitments to Tel Aviv, a quote, leaving Israel fully responsible for its occupation. What they are discussing is one state in all Palestine. Not two states, not Israel-Palestine. Since Israel has the most power and population, it will take over. It will end up being exactly what it was before Oslo. They're discussing a one-state solution. They've had it. They've had it. Enough is enough. Give it back to Israel, and we'll all be one happy state with the same rights and the same rights to elect officials, and they would demand citizenship. What they're proposing, actually, it's not a bad idea. As ideas go, this one is not a bad idea. If we don't get Palestine in September, that's it. Israel can have us.
Well, now, basically, how many Palestinians you're talking about, would they end up actually outvoting the Israeli in the Knesset?
No. Israel's got 7 million people, and they've got 2 million people. No. That is not a possibility. But, and by the way, their birth rate is sinking. It's almost at a European birth rate now. So they're not going to outbreed Israel. No, they would be in the minority for the foreseeable future. You know, I've heard of worse solutions. This one actually is worth discussing. By the way, a lot of Israelis said the same thing, that Oslo was stupid. If they want full rights, we'll just make one state with them as citizens. But back then, in 92, they did have a very, very high birth rate, and a lot of people objected to that. Nonetheless, the fact that the Palestinians and Nabil Shaat, who won away from the leadership of the Palestinian Authority, would say this to their newspaper, I think is worthy of serious note.
Yes, I've never heard that, you know, suggested before, but it is an interesting concept.
Oh, it's been suggested by Israelis. You know, it's a very Israeli thing to, well, not anymore because of Oslo, but before Oslo, the Israeli solution was one state, bring them all in, and that's that.
Well, but how would Hamas fit into that? Hamas wouldn't be happy with that at all.
Nope, they sure wouldn't. All right, I can there are all kinds of screws loose here. Nothing is perfect. Yeah, Hamas would be, well, if you can use words to say, all right, you're going to vote this election too, and it's all one vote, and who knows, but you're right. Hamas would have to be brought in, and trickery would undoubtedly be used. All right, fair enough. Hamas wouldn't be happy.
But in many respects, the Palestinians would be so much better off than they are today. I mean, certainly if they were part of Israel, why, they would have jobs, they'd have medical care, they'd have some sort of a social network. They would be so much better off than they are today.
Israelis don't have jobs. I mean, really, you've gotten Israel, an enormous percentage of the population is poorer than the Arabs. I don't think they'd be better off at all.
You don't think the Palestinians would be better off?
They have their own medical care.
Okay.
They have their own system, and they earn as much as the average Israeli. Now, I think everybody would be, you know what, conceivably, they're not going to get any great benefits from Israel except labor jobs. They're not, but you know what? If it stops this headache in some way and puts a stop to terror and all this, I would vote in favor of that. If, now, I don't think it will stop the terror, and I don't think it will, but nonetheless, look, you asked about Hamas, and you want to talk about an organization that can't be controlled. They did an offshoot of Hamas, did it? It doesn't matter. There was an Italian journalist, very pro-Palestinian Italian journalist, activist, who was hanged. His, again, if you want to know his name, it was Vittorio Aragoni. He was found strangled, hanged, in an abandoned house in the Gaza Strip. Now, initially, a jihadist group, well, that's what they said, aligned with Al-Qaeda, kidnapped him and threatened to execute him unless their leader, who was detained by Hamas a month earlier, was released. Hamas didn't release him, and he was hanged. Now, first of all, the humor part. The humor part. This is Ismail Haniyeh, the Hamas prime minister, told a French journalist that Gaza is safe, and I want to assure all visitors to Gaza that they are safe and secure. Come visit us. Boy, the Italian is dead, and they're trying to get French tourists in the place.
And, of course, the thing is that this Italian was really very pro-Palestinian, wasn't he?
Well, who else would live in the Gaza Strip?
Right. And so he was sort of championing the cause of the Palestinians, and his reward was they strangled him to death. Go ahead.
Well, you're never one of them until you're one of them. But he was used again by a group in Gaza to get their leader released. Hamas didn't cave in, so they hanged him. Well, I'll bet that's the last pro-Palestinian thought he ever had.
Right. Well, it's tragic. I mean, I'm sure he was a very, very sincere guy. We'll be right back. Well, Barry, now you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, all right. I was going to go into Hamas actually blaming Israel, saying agents.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm recommend one how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. The story of Jesus.